Jordan Renan is a good friend of mine and a colleague at ESPN. He covers the Giants better than anybody in the New York tri-state area. And he does a terrific job. And he was up there last night for the Giants-Eagles game. And I asked him to come on the Sal Pal Football Hour, not only to give us an idea of what in the world is going on with the Giants, because I thought the Giants were the most improved team in the NFC, and they have basically imploded. Jordan, are you with me?
Sal, I'm here. That's some introduction. I appreciate the kind words.
Well, you know, you do a great job covering the team. I thought your piece on Eli Manning, which ran yesterday, was terrific. What happened last night? Start me off on what happened. This team, the Giants, had to have that win and played like they couldn't care less.
Yeah, what happened last night was really that it's sort of a microcosm of what's been going on this season in spurts, right? The offense has only been good in really small spurts. And the other times, they've sputtered really badly, in part because of Eli Manning and the offensive line. And it's really a toxic situation, right, when you have the two together. Because you have an offensive line. You have to understand, they have an offensive line with five new guys, right? Five new starters. If you're going to pick a unit, Sal, where you're going to say continuity matters, and continuity is important, the offensive line is the unit that you pick. And they're starting five new guys there. And so there's constant pressure. With a quarterback who we know can't move. Really, at times, it's just hard for them to sustain consistent offense. And then once they get off to the start that they got off to yesterday, then it's just all downhill from there, right? Once this team starts going off the rails, we saw it last year. They went completely off the rails under Ben McAdoo. Once it starts going off the rails, it's just hard for them to turn it back around. And their defense really didn't play a good game either. But you have to give them a little break. The first four drives for the Eagles started at midfield or in the Giants' territory. So they're working. This is not a great defense in the first place. And they're working at a disadvantage where the Eagles are basically getting the ball on their side of the field. And then once things go bad, that's a unit that we saw last year, that the effort level starts to dip. And I think you put it all together, it was a perfect storm for the Giants. Short week, not a very deep, talented team, and it just didn't bode well for them. And everything sort of went off the rails. It was just a terrible performance. And as Pat Shurmur said, we really didn't do anything well enough to win.
Well, you know, that's all well and good. Now, the Eagles are up 7-0. We're talking to Jordan Renan, who covers the yep. New York Giants and covers pro football for us on ESPN.com. Does a great job. Jordan, I'm the game is not out of hand in the first quarter, right? It's 7-0,
right?
The Eagles. And you've got the rookie Saquon Barkley off right tackle. He goes for 46 yards. All of a sudden, the Giants have the ball first and 10 on the Eagles' 18-yard line. And Barkley's off the field, and they run for 3 yards with Gallman, and then mm-hmm. two incomplete passes from Eli Manning, and then they're kicking a field goal. Now, to me, that doesn't have anything to do with the offensive line. That doesn't have anything to do with Eli Manning, as much as it does play selection and the decision not to give it to the rookie back who had just sliced yep. through the Eagles' defense for 46 yards. To me, that was just a lack of creativity and forethought once you got into the red zone. Now, you have a shot to tie the game up after your rookie running back electrifies the crowd and puts a jolt into the Eagles' defense, and he doesn't touch the football. How in the world can that happen?
Yeah, I think this is something that they're actually been dealing with, and this is, stretches over all 6 weeks. They're trying to find the right balance with Saquon. Now, I believe on the first play, he tapped out, asked for out because he just run for 46 yards. So he's off the field for the first play, but he comes back on the field.
Well, that's insane. He's a rookie running back, and he taps out after his first long run. I mean, come on, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a series. I think it has to do also with, there was a play earlier in the year where he ran even further, I think it was. He ran 50 or 60 yards something. ran for the touchdown, actually in the opener. And they ran the ball on the following play for the two-point conversion. Again, they ran him again after he ran for a 60-plus-yard touchdown. And Pat Shurmur kind of got questioned about that afterwards. And Saquon was visibly tired. You could kind of see it. So I think that might have played into that there, too, like the fact that they're going down this road. They're trying to find the right balance for him and the right – but let me tell you, Sal, I agree with you 100%. This is a team that cannot just go back and pass the ball. You see what happens when they go back and pass the ball. Eagles were all over Eli, right? Yeah. 13 carries is not enough for Saquon Barkley. He had 130 yards on 13 carries. He needs to have more carries than that. He has not topped 18 yet this year. I thought with the rain yesterday, they needed to get him more than 18. He ends up with 13. And he ended up with 130 yards on those 13. So I think you bring up a good point. Pat Shurmur's kind of feeling his way of how to use Saquon Barkley, but he needs to commit to the run. And I know you guys have talked about that down there with the Eagles as well this year. They need to commit to the run more, especially in the games where they're not trailing. And you haven't really seen that from Pat Shurmur so far, at least on a consistent basis. It's definitely something I think he needs to reconsider a little bit, because he has that, and they have their deficiencies with the pass game and the offensive line.
Well, I want to go back to something that you wrote about yesterday. And do you think that this is the kind of game that basically they make their decision internally, once again, second straight year, where they've got to move on from Eli Manning, either now or for next year? And once you do that and you make Eli a lame duck quarterback, you're basically ending the season for the football team, and the Giants are basically eliminated from the NFC East equation completely.
Well, there's a couple things that factor. Just one is that their backup quarterbacks are Alex Canning, who has played in one career game, right?
Yeah.
And Kyle Oletta, who is a rookie from football subdivision Richmond. So it's not like they have this proven backup that they could go to and that the players are going to buy into, and you could still sell this season. Like,
I wonder,
you said,
if
right?
the Eagles would trade Nick Foles to the Giants.
But why would the Giants? Why the Giants need all the assets they have to go forward at this point? For them, why does that? You know, like, if I'm the Giants, I'm not sure trading for anybody is the right move. They're 1-5.
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles would do that anyway within the division.
Yeah, but they need to seem to keep all the assets and just pile them up, because their roster is way too thin.
So they can't really bench Eli Manning, then. They can't. And once they do, they basically throw in the towel on the division title.
Exactly. But here's the one way that they might get to the point where they have to bench Eli Manning. And it's already bubbling to the surface. You saw Odell's comments in the interview with Josina Anderson. You hear in the background, I've heard of players already doubting whether Eli Manning can still play at a high level behind closed doors. This is happening. So if this bubbles to the surface enough, to the point where they just don't believe in him, it will reach a point where they say, all right, we have to move on from Eli Manning. We have to at least bring in the young guy, Kyle Oletta, and see what we have moving forward. If that's really what the guys in the room want, it's going to be hard for them not to do that and go out there and throw Eli Manning out there every week if they don't believe in him. So these next few weeks, the Giants have a Monday night game against Atlanta and then a home game against the Washington Redskins. If he goes out and does nothing in those two games, and then they have a bye week before the bye, I think by that bye week, they could get to the point where saying, look, in order to justify it to our locker room, to everybody in here who doesn't believe that Eli can still play at a high level, we might have to try the younger quarterback in Kyle Oletta, who could at least move around and maybe make some plays with his legs, rather than us not being able to make plays at all.
We're talking to Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants. And I wanted to talk to you on the phone today because on this show, in the Sal Pal Football Hour, we're live at Poppy's Italian Restaurant in South Philadelphia. Come join us. It's a great place. And I wanted to get your take on the game because, you know, I think last night the Eagles basically eliminated the Giants from contention for the division title. I mean, they may have a shot at this point to slide in somewhere – in the wild card picture, but with the competitiveness in the conference, I don't think there's going to be two playoff participants.
They're probably done.
So they're done. So the Eagles have eliminated them after playing them once, and they still have to come to South Philly and play in Lincoln Financial Field, and it's going to be tough for them to mount any kind of attack at Lincoln Financial Field against this Philadelphia Eagles team at this point. It's gaining confidence. So I think the Eagles, for all intents and purposes, eliminated the Giants last night, and I'm wondering what your view is, what the view is of this Eagles team from New York.
Well, here's what I was thinking about today, right? Let's line up all the NFC East teams, okay? The most important position in this game is by far quarterback. By far.
Yeah.
And Carson Wentz, to me, looked like his old self yesterday, right? Or at least way more than he has in the past few games. So when you stack up the quarterback in the NFC East, it's not even close, right? You have the guy who was basically the MVP last year until he tore his knee. And you have teams with Dak Prescott, Eli Manning, and Alex Smith. So how big an advantage is that for this Eagles team? To me, it's just gigantic. I would be surprised, really surprised, if when all is said and done, this Eagles team was not the winner of this division. I mean, to me, they're still the best team. They still have the most talent. Like, they have their holes, and they've been obviously banged up by injury. But to see Carson Wentz play at that high level yesterday and make plays, like that first touchdown pass down was a thing of beauty. I mean, it was a risky pass, but to see him, I mean, he was basically surrounded by two or three defenders at one point, and he backed out, rolled out right, created space, and made a throw that just didn't look like it could even be made. To me, was impressive. And when you have that,
you know,
you have that guy leading your team.
Carson Wentz had his highest QBR last night in his career, and he had such a great year last year. But last night was his all time number one QBR. Ready? Did you see his third down numbers, Sal?
His third down numbers are off the charts.
They were great. Listen, Jordan, thanks for joining us. I'm going to let you go because Wendell Smallwood just walked into the restaurant and is joining the show here at Poppy's in South Philadelphia. So thanks a lot, Jordan.
Definitely got to go for that.
Yeah, you got to go for Wendell Smallwood.